for you to sing that. Amen. I know I've shared this before, but I can't. Every time I hear that song, and when I was a little fellow living in Baltimore in Glenmar Elementary School, we would do a Christmas play with shepherds and with wise men and all of that, and I was a shepherd. One of the key that when we heard the choir singing, "Fall on your knees," it was our cue to come out as shepherds. I remember my mother took aluminum foil on the end of a broomstick, and we tilted it over and then kind of wrapped it around to make it look like a staff. And the three of us had our little staffs, and we were waiting for that cue. "Fall on your knees. Fall on your knees." And finally it got there, and boy, we started out, and I stepped right on my robe and fell flat on my face, and I was I started crying. I felt so terrible. I felt like I'd destroyed the whole play, and here I am dragging, trying to get myself back up and moving along with the rest of the shepherds. But that's so vivid in my mind every time I hear that. "Fall on your knees." I took that literally. You've got your Bible this morning. We do want to share the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and as you're turning there, the question this morning is, are you ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you prepared yourself for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? I also remember back a year, many, many years ago, when I was just a little fellow, my family was traveling from Lexington, Kentucky, down to Granite Falls, North Carolina for Christmas. We were going home for Christmas, and we came across the Cumberland Gap. How many of you know where Cumberland Gap is? Traveled that way. You know, back years ago, it was just a two-lane road, and you were curving around this way and curving around that way. And it wasn't but just a few inches, and you'd be off the down the mountainside. And as we were coming through the mountains there, we rounded a bend, and here was this huge banner stretched out across the abyss. I don't know where the cables came from or how they suspended this sign out there, but it was a huge sign. We were coming around this sharp bend, and it said, "Prepare to meet God." Well, today I understand exactly what that meant, but back then when you're riding in a car around the little edges of the cliffs, you know, you're thinking to yourself, maybe what's around the next corner might be the Lord or something. Maybe you were going home to see him sooner than you thought. But the message is clear, is it not? Prepare to meet God. And the question this morning is, are you prepared to meet the Lord? Are you ready for the Lord's coming? In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning as we have another opportunity to share in the Christmas story, Father, we thank you for this historical point. Father, we thank you for sharing with us, Lord, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, this morning as we share, Lord, help us to realize that when the Lord Jesus Christ, when the announcement came that the Messiah had been born, Father, there were many folks who were frightened, many folks who were scared, many folks, and for the reason that they were not ready for the coming of the Messiah. Oh, they looked forward to it. They knew that he was coming. They expected him to come someday, but they just didn't know exactly when he was going to come. And when he did come, the Bible says that many people were afraid. Lord, I fear that there are people here. There's people here today, Father, that may not have made their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's one here even in this sanctuary, Father, that has not made their personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. That if Christ were to come today, if the eastern sky was to split, if God was to call His church home, my, that they would still be here. I pray that that's not the case, Father. But this morning, Lord, as we share in the Christmas story, help us to realize that just as Jesus came almost completely unannounced of so many other folks. Lord, he was announced clearly to the shepherds in the field, the lowly shepherds. Father, you came and you shared that good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, this morning, help us to prepare our hearts, Father, as we share in this message. And we pray, Father, that if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, never made that personal commitment, that today would be the day that they'd walk out of this sanctuary holding on to the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you bless, you get praise, get honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, the Christmas story, as I was sharing in the Sunday school time, the Christmas story many times is there are portions of the Christmas story taken out of context to satisfy somebody's political whim or somebody's idea about how they want to share maybe some kind of a theme that they're presenting or trying to make trying to present something that's an opinion of theirs that they're trying to principle. And yet really what they're doing is they're taking out of context the beautiful truth of what is there in God's Word. God has written it, I believe it, and I don't want to add to it or take away from it. I want the truth to be known. For example, I don't mean to criticize this, but every time you see a nativity scene, what do you see? What is there in that nativity scene? At the nativity scene, many times you'll see the star over the manger. Will you not? There's usually a star over the manger. And you'll see the shepherds, you'll see the baby Jesus, you'll see Mary and Joseph. And what else will you see? The wise men. And yet, really, that whole scene, while it has been embraced by the Christian world as a beautiful scene, and we don't mean to mar your love for that picture, but the star was the star that the wise men saw. The wise men didn't come to see the Lord Jesus Christ till almost 18 months or even 2 years after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So really, if you want to see the manger scene, you would certainly see the star because the star was there. But you would see just Joseph and Mary. You would see the shepherds, appropriately so. But the wise men, as they are inserted in there, they are part of the Christmas story in light of the fact that they also came into town some months later and announced that they were there to worship the newborn king. But so many times people will take these scriptures and twist them and turn them any way they want to. And this morning I'll share with you two statements that one Christian writer made that is completely out of context. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And so the land of Palestine was alive with travelers traversing from one city to another according to their lineage." There were a lot of folks going home to Bethlehem besides just Mary and Joseph. And the verse 4 says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. The little town of Bethlehem was the birthplace of King David. The very fields around Bethlehem were the fields where David was a shepherd boy, where he protected the sheep from the bear and from the lion. Joseph was a descendant. Joseph was a descendant of David, and his roots were there in Bethlehem." And so he's returning there to register for the taxation. Bethlehem means, does anybody know what Bethlehem means? What does Bethlehem mean? Just anybody. It means house of bread. House of bread. How appropriate for the bread of life to be born in Bethlehem. Why was Joseph going to Bethlehem? Certainly not because he was homeless. He had a home in Nazareth. Certainly not because he was jobless. He was a professional carpenter. And certainly not because he was looking for some handout. They were in Bethlehem because God had arranged for them to be there. And they were there, as verse 5 says, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So Joseph was not a rich man by any stretch of the imagination according to the standards of this world. Joseph was not a rich man by any stretch of the imagination according to the standards of this world, but he was a responsible husband, he was a responsible father, and one who loved God. And what more could a wife or a son ask for in this world? That's a wonderful testimony, is it not? We read where Joseph had some real problems with Mary being found with a child, and Joseph, being the Bible says, being a just man, he considered not to put to put her away privately. Joseph could have had her what? He could have had her stoned to death. He certainly could have. But Joseph was a wonderful man who trusted the Lord Jesus. He was a devout man as well, and I believe he was he was the perfect husband for Mary. God knew exactly what he was doing when he brought the two together. Albert Barnes writes this concerning the Mary and Joseph. It is worthy of our consideration that Jesus was born poor. It is worthy of our consideration that Jesus was born poor. He did not inherit a princely estate. He was not cradled in a palace. He had no rich friends, yet he had virtuous and pious and God-fearing parents of more value to a child than great riches. And he goes on to say, happy is that child and rich beyond measure that has a godly father and a godly mother. I was thinking the other day, you know, our children today have so much. They have so much. Moms and dads give our children so much. And the advertising ban just fills our children with the wants for things on a daily basis. Every day we're giving our kids our kids something, our grandkids something, and you know that we ought to be a little more responsible about that, don't you think? Don't you think? Well, I remember when I was a little fella, and no doubt many of you remember when you were younger. My father, if my father gave me an allowance, which he gave me an allowance. But he didn't give me that allowance because I just happened to be in the household. He gave me that allowance because I happened to have worked and done something during the week. I either helped my mother or I worked around the yard or did something. My father didn't just give me an allowance for nothing. And yet today we took our grandkids the other day for a little Christmas shopping. And I think we probably failed them miserably because we purchased them certain items that by the time they got home, those items were over in a corner someplace. So, but Joseph and Mary were responsible parents, and God bless the children that have responsible parents and God-fearing parents. Joseph and Mary may not have been rich with this world's goods, but they were rich in their love for one another, and they were rich in their love for their new baby boy, and they were rich in their love for God and his love for them. And so Mary and Joseph, far from being rich in this world, were rich beyond measure in God's world. Verse 6 says, And so it was that while they were there, and the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And here's where one Bible commentator wrote the following about this particular verse. He said, Jesus was born in poverty. Well, that's true. Jesus was born in poverty. But he goes on to say, if Joseph had possessed the money, he could have bought a room in the inn. Well, the scripture doesn't even say anything about that, does it? How do you think Joseph knew that there was no room for him in the inn? Do you think he went to the inn? Do you think he knocked on the door? Do you think he asked if there was room in the inn? Do you think he was prepared to pay for a room if there was one available? I believe so. I believe so. There was no room for them in the inn. So the Bible doesn't say that Joseph could have bought a room if he had had the money. It says there was no room in the inn. And common sense will tell you why. Every human being alive at that time, born in Bethlehem, were coming back home to be registered for the tax. The city was overflowing with people. And so the Bible rightly says there was no room for them, period. The sad commentary on this verse could only be that the residents of the inn, seeing Mary's delicate condition, were not willing to sacrifice for her better care. You know, that might have happened. That, you know, somebody might have been willing to give up their room so that Mary, who was great with child, would have some place better, more comfortable to reside. But we don't know that that was the case. We don't know that anybody in that inn knew anything about Joseph and Mary. But it wasn't because Joseph couldn't afford the room. It was because there was no room for them in the inn. But somebody was willing to make a provision. Somebody owned that stable and provided its means as a covering and a protection from the elements for Joseph and Mary. And I believe Joseph and Mary were thankful to God for that provision that was made for them. And then the writer of this commentary went on to say something else that kind of troubles me. It ought to trouble you. He says, Jesus was born in obscurity and loneliness. The birth took place away from people, all alone. Do you think Jesus was alone that night? Do you think Jesus was lonely that night that he was born in Bethlehem, in that little manger? I don't believe for one moment that the Lord was ever alone in this world except for those 6 hours on Calvary when all of the sins of the world were placed upon his body. God the Father turned away from God the Son and let him die for the burden of all mankind. The Holy Spirit departed from Christ and he was hanging there on that cross all alone. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I believe these were the only trying 6 hours when Christ was all alone for the first time in all of eternity. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to Calvary, his Father was there with him. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, before Calvary, his Father was present with him. And the angels were present with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he was in the mountains alone to pray, his Father also was there with him. But on Calvary's cross, Jesus bore our sins all by himself. He was all alone there. But Jesus was not alone in the stable at Bethlehem. His mother, who loved him dearly, was there, keeping him warm and cozy through the still night. His earthly father, Joseph, was there, making sure both mother and child were well taken care of to the best of his ability. To the best of his ability. Moms and dads, that's all God asks of you, is to take care of your loved ones to the best of your ability. God promises to meet your every need if you do what first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things God says will be provided unto you. And not only were his parents present, but also came the angels of God and the shepherds from the fields of Bethlehem. In verse 8 it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And this glory that shone down around him, this is the same Shekinah glory that set Moses' face aglow when God spoke to him from the burning bush. It's the same Shekinah glory that led God's children through 40 years in the wilderness. And it's the same Shekinah glory that hovered over Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And by the way, it'll be the same Shekinah glory that you and I will instantly be caught up into and be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye as God will split the eastern sky and call his church home. These shepherds are standing in the light of the glory of God. And the light came quickly. Did it not? They didn't expect that light to come that night. You know, I didn't expect Friday evening to get a call from Miss Jean and tell me that Miss Joyce had gone home to be with the Lord. I didn't expect to get a call from Miss Adele's family and share with me that their mother had gone home to be with the Lord. Nobody is really anticipating death. You know, we realize that there are people in the hospitals and so forth that have been wrestling with a sickness and so forth, and the doctor may come in and say, well, you know, unless the Lord intervenes, there's no hope, and so you can kind of anticipate that, but you don't know the hour, you don't know the moment, you don't know the time that God's going to open the door and let that person come home. And you don't know the hour or the time that God's going to come for his church. But I tell you this, anybody that sees what's going on in this world today and is witnessing what goes on in this world today can read the paper or watch the news on television. If you don't know Christ, boy, you need to run to him quickly because he's coming soon. I believe he's coming sooner than we can imagine. These shepherds are standing in the light of the glory of God and the light came very quickly. In Revelation, Jesus tells us 4 times, behold, I come quickly. In Matthew 24, at verse 44, Jesus says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, what? The Son of Man comes. The Son of Man comes. Are you thinking about the Son of Man coming today? That's When is Christ coming is a question that's often asked. When is Christ coming for the Christian? A question that's put to Christians many times. When is Christ coming? When do you think the Lord Jesus Christ is coming? What is the appropriate answer? Today. Today. We ought to be living as though we expect Christ to come back today. Amen? Nobody can ever accuse God of not giving us ample warning. The light of God came quickly, and the appearance of the angel of the Lord frightened the shepherds, but the angel of the Lord was careful to set them at ease. Verse 10 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And I want you to note the wording, "For unto you is born this day." This speaks to us of a personal relationship we can have with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came for you and He came for me. If you and I were the only people on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ would have come into this world and died for you and me. He is a personal God, a personal Savior, a personal Lord interested in you. And He's interested in me. John 3:16 says, "He came for whosoever will believe." And the angel speaks of great joy. This is a message that is to be received with great joy. If I told you that Christ was coming tomorrow, would you be excited about that? Would there be a great joy in your heart? Or would your response be like that of Herod and of Jerusalem? The Bible says that great fear fell upon them when the wise men came into the town looking for the newborn king, because neither Herod nor the Jews were ready for Christ's coming. And the question this morning is, are you ready for Christ's coming? Or does the thought of His coming frighten you? The moment Adam sinned, the first thing that he did was to run away and hide. He tried to hide among the trees of the garden, but even though he ran away from God, God still pursued him, just as the shepherd goes looking and calling for his lost sheep. And what did God cry out to Adam? Do you remember what God cried out to Adam? What did He say? "Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou?" And for the unsaved man today, I tell you, God, or the unsaved woman today, God calls out the same way. Where are you? He calls for a self-examination of your personal life. Where are you in your relationship to the Lord Jesus? God may be calling you this morning. You wouldn't be here in this sanctuary if God wasn't calling you. Many people think that God has given up on them. Many people think that they've sinned so bad, they've sinned so much that God cannot reach them, that God has given up on them. And yet, never forget that on Calvary's cross, hanging between on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ, were who? Two thieves. And one of those thieves, by the way, both those thieves railed on Jesus Christ to begin with, but then they heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And those words pierced the heart of one of those thieves, and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Had he ever been baptized, do you think? I don't think so. You think he'd ever gone to church? I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know what he was guilty of. I don't know why he was dying on that cross, but he fully accepted his penalty. He fully accepted his penalty. And what did Jesus say to him? "This day will you be with me in paradise." God never gives up. God's not giving up on anybody this morning. Not on you. He's certainly not giving up on me. And God, and certainly we failed him in so many ways. Failed him in so many times. The Holy Spirit moves upon our heart to do something and we just reject that moving. And yet he still loves us. Adam and Eve had turned from the love of God and the Word of God and found themselves naked and lost in a world of darkness, misery, anxiety, and fear. They were in a hellstorm that they had no covering for. But today, there is a covering available to everyone that suffers from loneliness, from heartache, or from confusion, or anxiety, or frustration, or misery, or pain, or what you name it. God can protect you from it. Christ is the umbrella of protection from that hellstorm. He offers forgiveness of sins, which will bring freedom from the torment of fear and lead you back into a right and a loving relationship with Him. The God you fear is the God of perfect love. He provided His love for you when He sent His only begotten Son into this world to take upon His body the sins of the entire world and to die on Calvary's cross in your place and in mine? And also, if you knew that Christ was coming tomorrow, would your heart be filled with fear or would it leap with great joy? If you are fearful of His soon return, you need to seek His forgiveness for the willful and the unconfessed sin in your life. The Scripture says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, this very morning, you can be ready for Christ's coming and be joyful about it if you'll only repent and ask God's forgiveness. His ear is always open, and it's open right now. And so the angel came to the shepherds with tidings of great joy. They said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so we see that even the angels were present that night when Christ was born. The glory of the angels, that radiant light that shone through the land, was present the night that Christ was born. And I believe that this was the light, the star that the wise men in the east saw. They see a brilliant star in the east and they begin their journey toward Palestine. I've heard many things written about that star, where that star came from, how long it appeared, and so forth. But if you read the scriptures, I'll probably share that maybe next Sunday about the wise men. You'll realize that the wise men saw that star, but the wise men, the Bible doesn't say that the wise men followed that star. When they came into Jerusalem, they were confused. They didn't see the star when they came into Jerusalem until after the scribes set them aright and read from the scriptures and told them where the child was supposed to be born. Then, after that, the word corrected them, and then the Bible says that star appeared and they rejoiced with great joy. But the very light of the Lord of God was shining down and present. And it came to pass in verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Was Jesus born in obscurity and loneliness? I don't think so. Jesus wasn't alone in a stable the night of His birth, nor was He born in obscurity. His mother was there, His earthly father was there, the shepherds were there, the angels were there, and the beasts of the field were there the night that Christ was born. And God the Father was there, the light of His marvelous glory shining down on mother and child. What a wonderful and a rich heritage for the spiritual offspring of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The night that Christ was born was one of the most beautiful and wonderful events in the history of the Christian church, and the response to that event is found in the following verses. Verse 18 says, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." And verse 20 says that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know, the longer we know about the message of the gospel of Christ, sometimes it just seems like it's a mundane report, that our hearts don't leap, our hearts don't get excited about that report anymore, and we know it's Christmas time, and we just kind of take Christmas for granted. But you know, the Lord Jesus could come back anytime. And Christians ought to be like those shepherds, leaping and sharing and having joyous hearts, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that He is coming again, that He has a promise and He has a gift to offer to all of those that are walking in darkness. That's what our job needs to be in Christmas time. My goodness, not down and out, but happy and joyful and excited that the message of Christ is preached. Amen. Let's pray.